Hello, you're listening to the first BTJ Biotechnology podcast, supporting the Biotechnology Journal, brought to you by Wiley VCH. I'm Matthew Locke.
I'm Barbara Janssens.
And my name's Claire Reigate.
In this podcast, we'll be featuring a short overview of exciting biotech news from the European Bioperspectives meeting being held in Cologne, Germany, on the 30th of May.
For the first time, we now have in Germany 35,000 biologists that speak with one voice. And we are actually very happy that this is coinciding with the Bioperspectives.
We'll also be hearing about brain-specific diseases, the main topic for the May issue of the Biotechnology Journal.
In recent years, actually, we had the development of new tools and models that now enable revolutionary approaches that we could not even imagine a few years back.
And what's new in biotech? We'll have some BTJ forum highlights.
For example, there is a novel blood-based diagnostic test for Alzheimer's disease. Because up until now, this disease could only be confirmed by post-mortem analysis of the brain.
New on the market. Stay with us to find out about a new avian influenza detection kit or how to reduce costs in metabolic engineering.
And which BTJ paper was recently most accessed? Keep listening to find out. This year, the European Bioperspectives meeting is being held in Cologne, Germany, on the 30th of May, and the Biotechnology Journal will be there. Claire Reigate spoke to one of the main organisers of the event, Rudi Barling of the German Federation of Biological and Biomedical Societies, to find out more.
Dr. Barling, how many participants are expected to be present at this meeting, entitled En route to a knowledge-based bioeconomy?
Well, we think that there might be about 1,500 people coming, so this will be quite a large and exciting meeting that is coming up here.
In your opinion, which will be the most exciting topics covered?
Well, if you look at the program, there's a whole range of topics that will be addressed. It has become quite clear that biotechnology is going basically into every part of life sciences. And I think, personally, the most exciting developments that are currently happening are in the field of bioinformatics and systems biology. We start to dissect biological systems very systematically using genetics, using small molecules. And so we are now starting to look at the networks of biological complex systems. And there will be a number of talks addressing this and how we can deduce from this kind of systematic network analysis potential targets that are useful and interesting for biotechnology, medicine, and all the whole range of applications.
At the meeting, the Cologne paper on biotech perspectives within the next 20 to 25 years is being presented. And actually, this will be published in BTJ just a few days later. Do you think that the predictions in the paper will influence the way in which biotechnology is conducted?
Well, I think a paper alone will not influence the fate or the future of biotechnology, but it's highlighting the potential of biotechnology. And I think the second important thing that this paper will do is it will open a dialogue. It will open a dialogue between the public, the politicians, the scientists. So I think the appreciation that biotechnology is exploding and there are so many applications will become much more clear. And finally, I think also this paper can be used as a platform or a continuous roadmap of where we should put our attention on, what kind of issues we should keep in mind. For example, what are the roadblocks or the obstacles? What kind of issues should we put forward to the politicians? For example, education. Do we need to have changes in our technology, IP, intellectual property right laws? Are we well prepared in terms of financing structures to attract venture capital or other ways? Are we having the right legal frameworks? And at the end, I think this is also very important to achieve public acceptance. And so I think this paper will be important, timely, and will have an important basis and function.
Also, a very important event is the fusion between the German societies VAU-BABE-M and VAU-DAE-BIOL. These are the Federation of Biological and Biomedical Societies and the Association of German Biologists and Bioscientific Societies. How do you think that this change will affect the biotech landscape?
Well, I think this fusion of having one voice for all the biologists, biotechnologists, and biomedicine researchers in Germany was long overdue. Biologists have a tradition of being much more fragmented and organized in small societies compared to physicists or compared to chemists. So traditionally, we never had one voice. But if you talk to the public, if you talk to the policymakers, and if you talk to the politicians, you need, let's call it a one-stop shop. You need to be able to articulate the interests of a discipline like biological sciences and biotechnology and get over the message that you want to convey to the public and to the politicians. And so for the first time, we now have in Germany 35,000 biologists that speak with one voice. And we are actually very happy. And it's so great that this is coinciding with the bioperspectives. I think it's the right forum, the right public audience, and we are very much looking forward. I think it's a very important step for German biosciences.
And thank you very much for talking with us.
This month's special issue of Biotechnology Journal is entitled Brain-Specific Diseases. If you visit the journal at biotechnology-journal.com, you can read about neurodegeneration, ischemic stroke, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, including highlighted articles about novel Huntington antibodies and nanobiotech sensors for catecholamine. Here's Claire Reigate talking to our Greek editor, Nektarios Tavernarakis, who was guest editor of the May issue of Biotechnology Journal.
Professor Tavernarakis, you're a board member of BTJ and the guest editor for this special issue. In your review, you discuss state-of-the-art research and treatment in brain disease. Why did you propose this topic?
Well, brain-specific diseases have been long the focus of intense research efforts worldwide. And in recent years, actually, we had the development of new tools and models which became available that now enable revolutionary approaches that we could not even imagine a few years back. So these tools and models that have been developed now accelerated the pace of discovery and provided new insights into really old problems about brain diseases. For this reason, I believe that it is a timely undertaking to review the state of the art in the field of brain-specific diseases. So this issue comes, I think, at a very opportune time.
Well, you state that neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's will soon affect more than 50% of the elderly. What can be done to prevent this?
Well, to begin, we need to study the basic mechanisms that underlie these pathologies. We have to understand the mechanisms that are involved in the pathogenesis of these brain-specific diseases. So basic research is an essential ingredient of any strategy that we develop that aims to devise effective interventions in an effort to battle these neurodegenerative disorders. Before we can proceed to educated interventions, we really need to understand the basic molecular mechanisms that are underlying these pathologies. At the same time, I think researchers need to work closely with clinicians and the biotech industry to facilitate translational studies that will eventually bring knowledge acquired in the lab to the clinic. So expertise coming from the bench to the bedside.
Could you say something about one of the highlighted articles that feature in this issue?
I think that all articles included in the issue are highly relevant to the topic of brain-specific diseases, and actually they provide a glimpse of the sheer breadth and diversity of modern research on brain pathologies, which is really extending to a very wide area of neuroscience and biology in general. Actually, to effectively address any problem in modern neuroscience requires the concentrated efforts and the multidisciplinary approaches that are described in reviews included in the issue. And I believe that this is reflected well by the articles included in the issue. They provide, I think, a good sample of what is going on worldwide on brain-specific diseases at this point.
Well, how did you like the guest editor experience? Would you be willing to do it again soon?
Well, the whole process went extremely smoothly, and I would like now to take the opportunity and thank the editors at the Biotechnology Journal for your great help during the processing of the manuscripts, which really made my job so much easier. This is the first time for me to be involved in such an effort, and it was a really exciting experience. It has been an absolute pleasure to work with the authors and the editors at the Biotechnology Journal to manage to bring this issue to life.
Well, thank you very much for your time and have a nice day.
What's new in biotech? Let's ask Barbara Janssens, the managing editor of the Biotechnology Journal, about the content of the journal's monthly magazine, the BJ Forum. Hi, Barbara. What's the forum highlight this month?
Well, a few pages of the forum are, of course, devoted to the BioPerspectives meeting and lots of news about neurodegenerative disease treatments. For example, there is a novel blood-based diagnostic test for Alzheimer's disease, because up until now, this disease could only be confirmed by postmortem analysis of the brain. Then, on the other hand, Australian researchers have developed a cheap DNA chip test for Parkinson's disease.
That sounds like promising news. And what about biotechnology around the world?
This month, we featured a country with the highest number of biotech companies per capita in the world. It's Sweden. In this Nordic country, it's not only dark in winter and bright in summer, it has a long scientific tradition and home to one of the fastest growing venture capital markets in the world, mostly devoted to the life science industry.
So which elements are featured in the BTJ forum?
You will read some facts and figures about Sweden's most successful pharmaceuticals, and the sizes and areas of biotech companies, biotech clusters, and opportunities.
Now if we turn to the new on the market section, what's new this month?
Well, Applied Biosystems has launched new avian influenza and Newcastle disease detection kits in conjunction with the VLA, a UK government agency specializing in animal disease surveillance and veterinary research. And these kits are expected to be broadly available in Europe and other parts of the world, such as Asia and Africa. The VLA has already used these tests to confirm that the avian flu strain that recently killed 2,600 turkeys in Suffolk in England was indeed the H5N1 virus. It was the first reported case of H5N1 on a UK commercial farm, and the agency said that early detection enabled immediate response to contain the outbreak.
And how can scientists reduce costs in metabolic engineering?
The French company Metabolic Explorer has developed an in vivo enzyme evolution tool relying on positive growth selection. And using DASKIP technology, they could test the evolution of modified microorganisms in a fourfold small scale system. 200 milliliters are used instead of 3 liters. And this proved to be highly effective and cost reducing.
And finally, we find out which recent BTJ paper has been downloaded most often. Here's Claire to tell us more.
Well, Matt, the paper that has been downloaded the most so far this year is a technical report entitled Whole Genome Genotyping Technologies on the Bead Array Platform. This was published in the Biotechnology Journal in January 2007.
What's described in this paper, which is so eagerly accessed by BTJ readers?
Well, to genotype and analyse hundreds and thousands of single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNP, in one single assay means a revolution in the detection of common genetic variants that play a role in identifying disease-associated loci, proteins, biomarkers, and pharmacogenomic responses. In this article, the authors review the development and application of innovative combinations of assay and array platform multiplexing methods in SNP analysis.
Well, that pretty much covers the May 2007 issue. Claire, what else can we expect in BTJ in the near future?
Well, during the summer, Biotechnology Journal will focus on biopharmaceutical processing, biotechnology in Russia, and the role of kinases in neuronal function.
You have just been listening to the first biotechnology podcast, presented by me, Matthew Locke, with Claire Reigate and Barbara Janssens. The podcast was brought to you by Wiley VCH and was produced by Jules Westbrook. Music from downmyspine.de, a courtesy of Juli Fischnecht. Please join us again next time, when we'll be bringing you more biotech news and interviews. You can register for the next free BTJ Biotechnology podcast on iTunes, or keep an eye, and maybe an ear, on biotechnology-journal.com. Thanks for listening.